This sermon is prepared and written by Pastor Carnahan. As I kept reading through it, for those of you who do know Pastor Carnahan, for me, he must always have a beard, number one. And I could always just see him rubbing his chin and going, "Mark, Mark." So this is Pastor Carnahan's sermon, first an address from Pastor Carnahan. Pastor says, "Grace to you and peace through God, the Father, and our Lord Jesus Christ. I thank you for the invitation to be your 150th anniversary preacher. I so look forward to again standing in this pulpit and sharing God's word with you one more time. But as with so many other things, COVID has gotten in the way. Miggy and I have such fond memories of our time with you, as many of us raised our children together, attended events, school, funerals, and meetings. When we left you, we left behind the best friendships we had in our lives. With great anticipation, we looked forward to renewing those friendships." The text for today's sermon is the entrance psalm, Psalm 87. "He has founded his city on the holy mountain. The Lord loves the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. Glorious things are said of you, city of God. I will record Rahab and Babylon among those who acknowledge me. Philistia too and Tyre along with Cush, and they will say, 'This one was born in Zion.' Indeed, of Zion will be said, 'This one and that one were born in her.' And the Most High himself will establish her. The Lord will write in the register of the peoples, 'This one was born in Zion.' And they will make music. As they make music, they will sing, 'All my fountains are in you.'" The words of our text. Where were you born? What does your birth certificate say? Logan County? Abraham Lincoln Memorial Hospital? If you were born here, your birth was registered in the county clerk's office. When I was your pastor, it was not uncommon for someone to stop by the church office and asked to make a copy of the church register that showed their date of birth, their place of birth, and their baptism, thus showing where they were baptized and born at. My birth certificate says I was born in Vacaville, California. My mother gave birth to me at Travis Air Force Base, the hospital there, while my father was in the Air Force. He always said I was born free. Airmen and their families received free health care. The psalmist boasts and celebrates that he was born in Zion. The Lord will write on the register of the peoples, "This one was born in Zion." If you were baptized here at Zion, you can literally say, "I was born in Zion." It is because it was here that you were born again by water and the Spirit. But those of us who are not actually baptized here at Zion can also say, "I was born of Zion," because Zion is bigger than just this congregation, bigger than just this church building. Zion is, in Scripture, the outcrop of the rock upon which Abraham took Isaac to be bound on the altar of sacrifice. It is the mount on which the city of Jerusalem was later built. Zion is that special place of refuge and strength, the believer's mighty fortress. The hymnist says, "He whose words cannot be broken formed you as his strong abode. On the rock of ages founded, what can shake your sure repose? With salvation's walls surrounded, you can rest from all your foes." Zion became synonymous with Jerusalem and Israel and the temple. And in the New Testament church and Christian usage, it became synonymous with the church and ultimately heaven. Zion is called the city of God. And in this city was the temple, the center of Jewish worship. In the temple, God dwelt with his people over the mercy seat, the lid of the Ark of the Covenant, between the cherubim. In that temple, the priests offered prayers and the sacrifices were made in thanksgiving to God for all of the blessings that he had bestowed on his people and for the atonement of sins. In Zion, God literally came down from heaven to meet his people on earth. Solomon's temple on Mount Zion was considered one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. Its structure and its furnishings were glorious, but its glory was really that God dwelt with his people, himself. The psalmist knows he is blessed by where he is born. We similarly count ourselves blessed to be born in the United States. The 14th Amendment to the Constitution gives American citizenship to all who are born within our shores. It reads in part, "All persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens of the United States and of the state wherein they reside. No state shall make or enforce any law which shall abridge the privileges or immunities of citizens of the United States, nor shall any state deprive a person of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor deny to any person within its jurisdiction the equal protection of the laws." So as citizens of the United States, you are guaranteed free speech, the freedom to assemble, the freedom of religion, the right to bear arms, the right to a trial before a jury of your peers. You are guaranteed the right to assemble and the right to vote. You have the right to own property and the right to not testify against yourself. U.S. citizenship is such a great blessing that others from around the world are still risking everything to become American citizens. And for all the ill that is spoken of the United States of America, it is still that shining city on a hill. The liberties listed in the Constitution are still worthy of our sacrifices. One of the things I remember about my ministry with you most was our patriotic services in which we celebrated God's blessings that he has given to our nation. We sang the patriotic hymns and recalled the noble events of American history, not forgetting to repent and ask God to forgive us our individual and national sins. The United States began as a nation of immigrants, and even more so now we continue to be a nation of immigrants. Coming from countries all around the globe are ones who want to become citizens and enjoy the rights and the privileges of American citizenship. It is pretty amazing that the leaders of other nations must forcibly keep their citizens at home because they do not recognize the majestic power of freedom and the opportunity to unleash human potential. Or maybe they do. The psalmist writes for us, the psalmist himself is known to be born of Zion by the people of other nations. Rahab, that's Egypt, and Babylon, Philistia, you remember them, the people of the coast, the nation of Goliath, and then there are the friendlier nations to Israel of Tyre and Cush. God caused the other people of other nations to stream to Zion to enjoy his blessings. It was always an anti-gravitational flow. Even if you lived in the mountains and had to descend in altitude to go to Jerusalem, you always, always went up to Jerusalem. You always went up to Zion. I was glad when they said to me, let us go up to the house of the Lord. Isaiah said, nations shall come to your light and kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes all around and see they all gather together. They come to you. The Lord is still drawing nations to Zion. Whether they be from the Congo or the Sudan, Tanzania or Afghanistan, Haiti or wherever it may be, they may not know it, but the glory of the Lord is drawing them to confess our citizenship is in heaven. We just sang, glorious things of you are spoken, Zion, city of our God. What is the most glorious thing that can be spoken of Zion, the city of our God? Why do the nations flock to Zion? Why are people still flowing into the Christian church? It is because God dwells with his people through word and sacraments. It is because all the fountains of God are in her. And these fountains are the river which makes glad the city of God. These rivers, these fountains of ever-flowing blessing. What is it? It is the gospel of the forgiveness of sins that God has established through Jesus Christ, his Son, born of Mary, lifted up on the cross and raised from the tomb on the third day. These buildings of Zion, this Zion on this corner, this magnificent 1903 sanctuary with its beautiful stained glass windows, the 1954 education building, these are a fortress. The beautiful 2004 addition joining the two buildings, the towers of Zion, the golden cross at its peak, the Luther Rose stained glass window, Zion Lutheran School, the congregation's commitment to support families as they seek to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. All of these stand and show that one generation after another, that here, this Zion glories not in earthly treasures, but in Jesus, God in the flesh who dwells with us. And may it always be so. It is my prayer that you, Zion, will always enjoy the solid joys and the lasting treasures which none but Zion's children know, and that glorious things of you will always be spoken, and they will always celebrate Jesus Christ and his saving gospel within these walls. Amen. And now may that peace which passes all understanding be in your hearts and minds through the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.